Good morning, everyone. As promised last week, I wanted to deal today with a very contemporary issue that I don't believe our forefathers ever thought of, definitely not our grandparents. As they were eating schmaltz with kugel, I don't think they dealt with the question that we're going to deal with halachically today, and that is, can you daven from a smartphone or from an iPhone or from any other electrical device in your hand during the course of the week? We're not talking about Shabbos around this table. We're limiting the conversation to the days of the week that you can use a cell phone.
I thought you were talking about, can you eat unhealthy food like schmaltz?
I don't know if that it's actually lent itself to an entire shear. I think the answer would be rather obvious, but okay. In any case, in order to deal with this question of a smartphone, let's just give two very brief words of introduction. Number one, as opposed to the old cell phone, a smartphone and an iPhone are different in what way?
You can text, you can communicate.
You can have a sitter.
You can do many, actually the old phones had sitters too. What's the difference between the old phones and the phones we have today?
Internet.
Lo lechinam, as we say, it wasn't by chance that it's called an iPhone or a smartphone, because ultimately it is very smart and it can do what I want. In other words, not only can I daven from it and make calls and even text, I can see my emails, I can look on the internet, I can get updates from any newspaper I would like. Just, you know, as I'm davening, the phone will be getting messages from various people. So first and foremost, we have to establish that when you hold a phone in your hand, you're not just getting calls or davening. You can do various different things as you hold this gadget in your hands. Correct? That's number one. And therefore, the first thing we have to establish is that the cell phones that we are using today have the ability and the potential to divert your attention to the extent that you may be saying the words of davening, but perhaps your mind and your heart are in a text message, at the very least, or even in a newspaper article that just came in, at most, not to mention an email and whatnot. That's the first thing I wanted to say as a word of introduction. You have a question on that, Bruce?
Why would that be different from having, there's a newspaper on the table, or here we're in a library surrounded by sparring? One could be distracted by those things, other than the fact that this is actually in your hands.
And this deals to the second question, and that was what we're going to deal with this morning. Not only is there a potential of diversion of attention with the cell phone in your hand, not as opposed to sparring around you, this is actually in your hand. This brings us to the second point, and that is that the cell phone in your hand makes it all the more accessible for you, first and foremost, to do all those things. You have to go get the safe from the shelf, open it up. You have to get the newspaper and actually open it. Sometimes it's embarrassing for many people to read a newspaper in shul, though I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen many things in shul, and that's one of them. But it's a little bit more difficult. But when you hold the cell phone in your hand, not only is it more accessible to do everything I just mentioned, but perhaps you have another problem. An old phone didn't cost much. If you buy a nice iPhone today, a nice smartphone today, it costs a lot of money. Perhaps when you're holding it in your hand, you're more concentrated on not dropping it than you are in pouring out your heart to God. And that's the sugya we're going to begin with this morning. The sugya deals with a very interesting issue. So we're going to take a step back from cell phones and look at a Gemara on the top of your source sheet in Masechet Brachot, Daf Kaf Gimel, Amud Bet, page 23b. Tana Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, Lo yechoz adam tfilin biyado v'sefer Torah bizvro'o v'yitpalel. A person should not hold in his hand what? Tefillin or a sefer Torah. The Gemara goes on, V'lo yishan behen lo shenat keva v'lo shenat erai, and he shouldn't sleep with them. That doesn't have to do with our shir today. Amar Shmuel, Sakin. What's a sakin?
A knife.
A knife. Unfortunately, in Israel, we know too much about that lately. Uma'ot. Money. Uke'ara. A plate. Vekikar. Piece of bread. Into the makolet. Your shopping bag. Hareye ukayutse bahen. Anything like it, you can't hold in your hand. Explains Rashi. As you know, Rashi interpreted the Gemara. She'en da'al tomi yoshevet alav batfilah sharei libo tamid aleihem shelo yiplu biyado. A person can't totally and utterly concentrate on davening because as he's trying to concentrate on davening, Simultaneously, what is he trying to concentrate on?
Not dropping.
Not dropping what he has in his hand. And indeed, he has in his hands interesting things. First and foremost, we talked about tefillin and a Sefer Torah. We all know what happens when a Sefer Torah falls, or when tefillin falls. That's a terrible thing. So if you're holding it in your hand and you're davening, how much of your attention is going to be focused on God, on talking to God, on avoda shebalev, on pouring out your heart to God, or even on the words of the sitter for that matter? If you have tefillin in your hand, then all you're worried about is maybe they're going to fall. Or if you're holding a Sefer Torah in your hand, you're also worried, maybe they're going to fall. Continues Rashi and says that even with regard to the things that are not what we call kadosh items, not tashmishei kedusha, they don't have God's name in it, like your Sefer Torah and your tefillin, such as the plate and the bread and the knife and the money. If you're holding a knife in your hand, what are you worried about? That as you're davening and you're shuckling and you're really into it, the knife will fall down right into your foot and cut it. More than that, if you're holding a bowl of soup in your hand, what are you worried about? It's going to spill. And if you're holding money in your hand, what are you worried about?
Dropping
the money and losing the money. Someone's going to snatch it. And if you bread falls on the floor, it's obviously going to get very dirty. And the Shulchan Aruch Pas consists of Halacha, and the next source on the page, in Siman Tzadik Vav, 91a, Kishahumit Palel, when a person stands Shmonesrei, Lo Yechos Biyadot Filin, Velo Sefer Mikitve HaKodesh, he goes on to say not just a Sefer Torah, but any Sefer for that matter. And Lo Ke'arah Meleah, Velo Sakinu Ma'ot V'Kikar, any of the things the Gemara says. Why? The Mishnah Berurah there adds in the name of the Prima Gadim, so is true with regard to Psukei Dezimra and Kriyat Shema. So we've now established that not just for Shmoneh Esrei, the Prima Gadim actually brings it forth to other things, but even if we just limit it to Shmoneh Esrei from our perspective, you're not allowed to hold in your hands things. If we have to summarize what we just say, what things can't you hold in your hands?
Things that would distract you if you dropped them.
Things that you're worried that you would drop, and it would distract your attention. Or let's be more definitive, things that would divert your attention from davening to other things. So if you're standing straight and all you're doing is davening, your attention hopefully is on davening, where your mind wonders, what can we do? Chazal weren't that naive to try to say we're going to control your mind. But when it comes to davening per se, we want you to at least have the physical ability to be focused on davening. And if you're holding something in your hand, you don't have that physical ability because you're worried that it might drop. And if it drops, it gets ruined. And if it gets ruined, that's what you're thinking of. So as you're davening with your cell phone and you're shaking, you can't shake all the way because it may fall. You can't totally be into davening because of the reality that you're worried that your cell phone might fall on the floor and break. Yes, questions?
Most of us hold siddurim, right, while we're davening.
Excellent.
So how does that relate to this? And how, secondarily, when people hold their smartphones and daven from them, to me, that seems, there's the potential to get distracted, but you could set your phone not to be, and that seems to be the same as holding the siddur, because it's an electronic siddur instead of a printed siddur.
So when I go around the world, people like to know who says things in Shir, so say your name for the record.
Reuven.
Reuven says two things that we're going to get to, and that is, if you look on page 2 with regard to how does this relate to our sitter, according to this Gemara, perhaps you can't even hold the sitter in your hand. And number 2, maybe you can make your phone in such a way that it won't distract you. However, what you haven't dealt with is the third issue, and that's the issue we just dealt with now. We didn't speak about a gadget that diverts your attention because in the gadget itself there's things that can put your mind onto the news or the emails. We're talking about a gadget in and of itself that if it falls on the floor, you're worried. Let me make it very tangible. There's two recorders on the table. One is this phone, and one is this recorder. If I'm holding that recorder in my hand and it falls, I'm not going to go to the gas pipe. But if this falls, I'm out a few thousand shekels. Am I right? So there's a difference between the two. So if you're holding a piece of paper in your hand, it's different than holding your cell phone in your hand, because the damage that might be done by the phone dropping is far greater than the piece of paper. Thus the Gemara said, Harei elu kayotze bahen, and so did the Shulchan Aruch, anything like it. In other words, things that you're really worried about while you're davening. I'm not so worried about a piece of paper when I'm davening. I am worried, however, about my phone dropping.
Can I add? I've always been taught, I don't know the halakhic basis for it, but I'm always concerned about dropping a sitter. Right? I hold the sitter in a way, so I'm not going to drop it. I would hold if I did it a smartphone. So
we'll
I'm
get
not
to the sitter.
It,
we will. I
the
promise
sitter
you.
Has more holiness than
Reuven's correct,
smartphone.
And I promise Reuven, we're going to get to the sitter. The sitter is a very big shaila, based on the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch we just learned. Absolutely a big shaila. Because if it falls, it makes a noise, everyone looks, then you pick it up, and then you kiss it, and all those things distract your attention from davening properly. You're right. Yes?
I would think that it doesn't mention kids. Many people are, not many, there are people holding their babies while they're davening. They're not, and it's strapped to their body, not going to drop the baby, but the baby's a distraction that's really potentially about to, you know, and the phone even in your pocket. It might ring if they forget to set it on silent. So there are things that are potential distractions. Not because you're dropping. They simply shouldn't be with you.
Well, first and foremost, I think that everyone has to prepare for davening. That is the halacha. And preparing for davening is not just to focus your mind on what I want to daven for. It's also to make sure that all these things are taken care of. Your phone's on silent. And the baby's being looked after and whatnot. Now, if impossible, so that's exactly a shaila against this Gemara. This Gemara explicitly says that you're worried about the money dropping and someone snatching it. Aren't you worried about a baby dropping on the floor if you're davening? Obviously you are. So the daven with the baby in your hands is a very, very tremendously big shaila against this Gemara. I will just add that what you said in the second clause, namely that it's strapped to your body, I think is different. I think there you're not holding it in your hand, and you walk around all the time with the baby. I'm not so sure that you're worried about it dropping during davening. But if you're holding it,
you're worried
absolutely.
About it
holding the baby,
that's
yeah.
the moment it's going to cry as an interruption, not as a dropping.
Interruption we're not dealing with today. There's many interruptions that may happen during davening. Okay. You can hear a siren. You can hear various things.
Yeah.
Talking about you personally in davening. How should you come to davening? Nothing in your hands that you're worried will drop and will divert your attention.
You also mentioned only Shemona Esrei. Obviously, when you're holding the Torah scroll, moving.
Absolutely.
Sitter. You're holding the sitter.
No one yet here said that it lends itself to anything but Kriyat Shema Pesukei Dezimra and Shmona Esrei. So obviously, if you're taking out the Torah, you're concerned about the Torah, and you should be concerned about the Torah. As a matter of fact, it's not on the source sheet, but of course you all know that we have laws that govern what kavod we should give to a Sefer Torah. The Rambam uses a beautiful Lashon when he tries to capture what it means to mechabed a sefer Torah. He says v'lechabdo ulahadro yoter midai. I don't think I have to comment further. Yoter midai. So obviously you're concerned with that. We're not talking about that part of davening though here. We're talking about Shmoneh Esrei primarily. Perhaps Pesukei Dezimra and Kriyat Shema. Now, what's the extent of this halacha? Is a machlokas rishonim. Rabbeinu Yonah, as you know, on various mesechtas in Shas, on almost all, we have the Rif in the back of the Gemara. How do you know it's the Rif? Because when you open a Gemara in a Vilna Shas, you may think you're reading the Gemara. Why? Because it looks exactly like the Gemara.
Right.
And around the Rif are Perushim. Usually you have the Ran, but in certain mesechtas, such as Meseches Brachos, you have Rabbeinu Yonah. So Rabbeinu Yonah from Grodno, from Gerondi, he was called. He comes from Gerona in Spain. Rabbeinu Yonah brings a machlokas. Does this lend itself to anything? Or just the things that you're very concerned about? In other words, are you not allowed to even hold this piece of paper in your hand? Or only things that you're very worried about, such as an expensive cell phone, or a baby, or things like that. So on the right side of the page, as you can see, Rabbeinu Yonah says, the fact that we mentioned the knife and the bowl of soup and the bread and the money, not only these things. The Gemara was just saying what people usually have in their hands. For Hu Adin, it's exactly the same halacha. He's not supposed to hold anything in his hand. The Sefer Mitzvot Katan, the smock was very, very famous because if you know the story about the burning of the Gemaras in Paris in 1242, the smock was alive then, he was part of the disputation that led to the burning of the Talmud in 1242. How do we know about the burning of the Talmud in 1242? See, Jews always know things in the backwards way. It was an old joke in yeshivas that the yeshivas never learned Tanakh. Because they never learned Tanakh, they don't know anything in the Bible. So how do they know that Moshe and Aaron are brothers?
It says in the Gemara,
but they don't learn Gemara, they learn Rishonim. But they don't learn Rishonim, they learn Achronim. So indeed, there's one of the Achronim, the Ksos HaChosh, and he says that two brothers can't be witnesses. Such as Moshe and Aaron. Oh, they're brothers, that's good to know. Didn't know that. Alright, Moshe and Aaron are brothers. So the Smak, how do we know about this whole idea of the burning of the Talmud? Not because we read a history book. Because on Tisha B'Av, there's a kina called Cha'alis Rufa Ba'esh, written by the Maharam Mirutenberg. The Maharam Mirutenberg, as you know, became very famous because of the Gilad Shalit case. And Maharam Mirutenberg had very important Talmidim, such as the Rosh and the Mordechai. And the Maharam Mirutenberg was witnessed the burning of the Talmud and wrote the famous kina, Sha'alis Rufa Ba'esh, about all the Talmuds, all these wagon loads of Talmuds going up in fire. The Smak was alive then, and when he enumerates what he thinks are the 613 mitzvos, he says, mitzvah yad aleph, b'sha'at fila, during davening, sh'lo yechos shum davar, sh'lo yasiach da'atel, you shouldn't hold anything in your hands. So says the Prima Gadim in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Mishnah Berurah brings it in the name of the Taz. However, on the left side of the page, you can see Rabbeinu Yonah says, shar dvarim shein bahem efsed, imi plumi yado, mutar li'palel bodan biyado. He basically says that with due respect, this is only limited to things that you're very worried about dropping. But if they're things that are not worried about dropping, like a newspaper or whatnot, then it's okay. So there, of course, we can make a very clear distinction between a cell phone, let's say, and a source sheet. The source sheet falls on the floor, I pick it up afterwards, big deal. But if a cell phone falls on the floor and it doesn't have a cover on it and whatnot, I'm very worried. If a baby falls on the floor, much more worried. And these are the two deos as to how far this halacha goes. But any way you slice it, the cell phone, even if you want to be mekel, even the mekelim would probably say that you can't hold it in your hand for a very simple reason. You are very, very worried that it will fall. And if it falls, it may break. And if it breaks, you can't use it. And we're very attached today to our cell phones. And therefore, even if you go with the mekelim that it's only these things, and things like it, a cell phone would definitely qualify. So we have a very big problem this morning, holding a cell phone in our hands, not so much because what a cell phone can do, namely divert our attention, but the very holding it in our hands is a problem. Why?
Because we might drop it.
Because you might drop it. Now.
Although cases today are built in a way so that one shouldn't worry about it. I mean, I've dropped my phone a million times. So you have a good case on it, you really don't worry about it. And therefore, if you're not worried about it, hold the phone, which I would have thought there's other reasons not to hold the phone.
Bruce, drop your phone right now on the floor. Just drop it. You don't care.
Not in the least.
Not in the least.
That's a great case.
Mm-hmm. Drop your phone on the floor again.
I'm telling you, it's a great
case. Exactly my point.
It's a great case.
If I say to you, take the piece of paper, drop it on the floor, you do it. I say, do it again, you'll do it five times, you don't care. But the phone, now Bruce was looking, making sure that it worked. Very nice. See, that's my point. If a phone drops in the middle of davening, you may not care. I got a very good case for this phone too. But then I would check, make sure it still works. And even if I didn't check because I'm davening, all my davening is going to be about what? As soon as I take those three steps back, what am I going to do? What Bruce just did now. Namely, check if it works.
But, you know,
I mean, let's be honest with each other. This is exactly what we're dealing with here.
Maybe no more printing then. This may be the text, the sitter of the future.
Right, so when we get to the sitter, that's what we'll see.
We'll see. We'll get to it. I didn't give a halachic opinion about can you or can't you. I'm trying to bring the issue on the table. First and foremost, of holding the phone in your hand. Now, in order to explain these two points of view as to the extent of how far this goes, one point of view saying you can't hold anything in your hand, and the other one saying, no, only things that divert your attention in such a strong way, not other things, I would like to suggest my explanation. In my humble opinion, there's two things that are happening in davening that are contradictory, if you want to call it that way, when you stand Shmoneh Esrei. On the one hand, if you look on the left, right side of the page, you see the Shulchan Aruch talks about the experience of davening in Siman Tzadik Hei, in Siman 95. He says, Yechaven raglav zel zeh b'chivun ki'ilu einam ela echad. You have to put your feet together as if your 2 feet are one. Why? Lihidamot l'malachim. Just like the malachim stand with 2 feet together. And then he goes on to say, Yekuf rosho me'at. You have to put your head down a little bit. Meniach yado al lebo. Kvotav. Hayemenit al asmalit. Ve'omed ke'eved lifnei rabo. Be'emo be'yiro be'fachad. When you daven, you're supposed to stand before God and understand you're going into a rendezvous, as Rav Soloveitchik said, a rendezvous before God. And therefore, you got to go in with trepidation. You got to take those 3 steps back and forward with much, much fear in your heart. I'm about to talk to the Almighty. I have a chance to talk to the King of the world. And thus says the Prima Gadim, why can't you hold things in your hand? You don't stand before the Queen of England and hold your cell phone in your hand and say, how you doing, Queenie? Not covered. When you come before someone special, you have your 2 hands free, so you can shake hands if they so shake hands. I'm not saying the Queen shakes hands. She's very religious. She does not shake hands, by the way. I know that for a fact. And ultimately, you have to be ready for this big audience with God. That's one thing that's happening in davening. But there's another thing that's happening in davening, and we mentioned it around this table many a times. What else is happening in davening? What does the word tefillah mean? Define the word tefillah. Define prayer in Judaism. What is the crux of tefillah? Shmoneh Esrei. What is tefillah? The Gemara says, Lo'olam yisader adam shvachol shel makom v'archakach yitpalel. A person should always first say the praise of God and then pray. So what's prayer? Request. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Kuf Yud Tet 119. I know that because when I was in school, that was the biggest punishment you can get. Copy Perek 119 in Tehillim. That's the perek that, God forbid, we use at a cemetery with the names. It's a very long perek. Shulchan Aruch, it wasn't. I wasn't smart enough to outsmart the teacher in those years and say, ah, Kuf Yud Tet, I can copy that. Shulchan Aruch will take me 10 minutes. Done. And that famous siman, he says,
911,
if a person wants to add in his personal prayer, any one of the middle brachos, those 13 middle brachos, me'ena bracha, something that has to do with that bracha, like if you have someone sick in your house, where would you add it in? In Rifa'enu. If you need money, a little tricky. Barech Aleinu, we always associate it with rain, but it has to do with money. And if you did an Avera, Slach Lanu, and onwards and onwards. Moshif! Shulchan Aruch doesn't, by the way, say here, you can. He says, you do. So on the one hand, coming into davening, you're coming into this holy, holy rendezvous with God. But on the other hand, what are you coming in to talk to God about?
Your request.
About life. About the regular life you have. Namely, about the mundane, quote-unquote, things that regulate your life. You're not coming in there to say, God, you're so holy, you're so wonderful, hallelujah. That's other prayers in other religions. Our prayer starts with praise, but goes on to 13 blessings of request. So what are we basically doing? We're not saying leave life outside of shul so that we can come into this holy rendezvous with God. We're saying bring life into shul. So in those 13 requests, you're going to think about the baby that's sick at home. You're going to think about the mortgage payment you have to make. You're going to think about the Avera you did yesterday. And you're going to talk to God in request. So there's two contradictory things happening in davening every day. On the one hand, it's a holy rendezvous with God. But on the other hand, you're actually bringing in regular life into davening. Now, if that's the case, in my humble opinion, we can understand these two opinions that we just saw. If you want to say that it's a holy rendezvous with God, don't have anything in your hands. Nothing should divert your attention from this holy rendezvous with God. But if you want to say, on the other hand, that you have to bring life into shul, then allow me to suggest something outlandish that you all say can't be. But allow me to suggest it anyway. Maybe if you hold your cell phone in your hand and you see the news coming in and you see the emails You'll know what to request from God. Namely, where is your agenda? Where is your life?
In this world?
In the cell phone. So when you come to a tachonein la'adam da'ad, give me wisdom. What do I need wisdom for today? Let's think. And you look in your phone, you see the emails you have to answer, and you see the people you have to correspond with. That's exactly what you're going to request. Davening will become real. So, therefore, my humble opinion, this explains the two points of view. If it's only a holy rendezvous with God, you should have nothing in your hands totally with it. But if it's not just a rendezvous with God, it actually means bring life into shul, then I can understand the point of view that says, yes, don't hold things in your hand that will totally take your focus off talking to God. But if there are things that perhaps don't take your focus off, and I will even add, enhance your davening, then perhaps we have a way to use it. These two contradictory things happen in a halacha that we actually mekayim in most shuls. When you build a shul, there's a certain architectural plan that you have to follow. You have to make it a mikdash me'at. And in this mikdash me'at, by the way, this mikdash me'at is one that has certain rules and regulations. And one of them is, bottom of page one, tzarich liftoach ptachim o chalonot keneged Yerushalayim. You're supposed to open up windows. You can't daven in a closed room in order to daven towards Jerusalem. Now, when you say daven towards Jerusalem, what do you think about? Holiness, the holy city, the place where on certain parts of it you can't even walk today because we don't have a Parah Aduma. Holiness! On the other hand, the Shulchan Aruch says, V'tov shiyeh b'bet yud bet chalonot. And you should really have 12 windows. What are the 12 windows?
12 tribes.
When you say 12 windows in the shul, what are you basically indicating to the people? I come into shul, I count 12 windows. Oh, 12 windows, Jewish people. What should conjure up in my mind?
Each is part of a certain window.
All Am Yisrael,
and we want them to come back.
All Am Yisrael has to be on my agenda when I come into my shul. And when I talk to God. Now what does Am Yisrael need? There's 12 shvatim, the 12 tribes. Let's think what they need today. People live in different places around the world. They have different needs and requests and quests and problems and challenges and whatnot. So that same halacha can be taken in two ways. Either it's to promote the holiness, or it's actually to bring in life into shul. So these are the two contradictory things that are happening in davening. So just to leave you with a thought today, and we'll continue next week. On the one hand, you could say a cell phone is awful. It brings in the mundane life that you have outside of shul. Davening is about holiness. Therefore, the Gemara says, don't hold anything in your hand at all. If the Gemara just brought a few examples, says Rabbeinu Yonah, they're just examples. Davening is a holy experience. It's out of this world. You're going to the higher worlds. But on the other hand, if you say, no, davening means bring your agenda into shul and request, well, perhaps the most useful thing is the cell phone. Because as I'm davening, I see there's a news report about, God forbid, a stabbing. And there is an email that came in. All these things will dictate for me what I'm going to daven for that day. So, I'm leaving you with this thought today. God willing, we will continue this next week. Nobody, I repeat, nobody has my permission to say, Rabbi Grunstein paskind, because he has not yet paskind. But we brought up the issue. And the issue is a very real one. It's a serious one. I don't want you to think for a moment that I'm making a joke here. This is a serious issue today. There are apps of sitters that are out there, and we can download them and use them, and they're very useful. Is it mutter? Is it at all allowed? Perhaps it's absolutely forbidden based on the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch we saw today. And perhaps it's the best thing in the world based on the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch we saw today. God willing, as we continue through, we'll see.
I would think if you're doubting from your sitter, you wouldn't be worried.